This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
This Christmas program is a lot like Christmas. It is very multidimensional. And if you think about it, Christmas is a very multidimensional holiday. I mean, 4th of July, pretty straightforward. Flags, food, fellowship, freedom. But that's about it. No one ever calls a loved one and said, "You've got to be here. It's the 4th of July." In fact, Hallmark hasn't even picked up on the 4th of July yet. And so it's just not part of it. But Christmas is different. Christmas seems to touch a different nerve. Christmas seems to elicit different responses. And it's always been that way. I mean, just think of all the different responses of Christmas. I mean, right now you have the excitement of a 5-year-old and you have the exhaustion of his mother. And you have some confusion that comes with Christmas. I mean, is it Jesus, baby Jesus? Is it Santa? Is it mom and dad? Who gets the credit? Who gives the gifts? In fact, this one old cowboy, a little confused about Christmas. He moved from West Texas to Dallas, wanted to join a church. So he went to the most prestigious church in the whole city, asked to join. They looked him up and down and said, "Well, sir," he said, "we have standards here, and you're going to have to answer a Bible quiz." He said, "Okay, what's the question?" They said, "Where was Jesus born?" He thought for a minute. He said, "Nacogdoches?" They said, "No, sir, I'm sorry. You'll need to find another church." So the next week, he went to the second most prestigious church in the area. They again told him they had standards too, and he had to answer a Bible quiz. He said, "Okay, give me the question." They said, "Where is Jesus born?" And he thought for a moment. He said, "Jasper." They said, no, that's not it. You'll need to find another church." So he kept trying. Third Sunday, he found a church a lot like the Ark. You know us. We'll take anybody. And so he asked. They said, "Well, would you like to be a member?" He said, "I'd love to be a member." He said, "Well, come on." He said, "Do I have to take a Bible quiz?" They said, no, you're welcome just as you are." He said, "That's great. Can I ask you guys a question?" They said, "Sure." He said, "Where was Jesus born?" They said, "Palestine." He said, "Dadgummit, I knew it was somewhere in East Texas." So the holiday can confuse people. I think if you, the range of emotions that comes with Christmas is pretty severe. I mean, you have some people that are thrilled by it and some people dread it. And it really depends on what stage you are in life, where you are. Because Christmas, we sing the same songs, there's a lot of the same traditions. And so it's a reminder every year of the gaps in our life, of maybe we're not where we used to be or not where we want to be. So every year Christmas brings a different response. And actually, it was like that at the very first Christmas. Now, I'm going to read the Christmas story. We'll put it up here on the screen. And in this Christmas story, we're going to see different responses to the birth of Christ. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. That's a very classic story. That's a story, if you've ever seen Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown, it's the story that Linus tells. But it's also a story that gives us many of the different responses that we see to Christmas. The first one would be the indifference of the innkeeper. I mean, he just was completely unaware of what was going on. It's not that he was malicious. He was just busy. The inn was full. He didn't have a room. He didn't have a place. He wasn't looking for God. He wasn't expecting God to do anything at all, much less in his backyard. Like I said, he wasn't malicious. He just missed it. I can only imagine in my mind the conversation he had with his wife when he goes back inside and said, "I had to turn another couple away. She said, oh, really? He said, yeah, young couple, a little girl, teenager, looks like she's about to bust. Wife said, what do you mean? I said, well, she said she was getting ready to give birth. And the wife said, well, what'd you do with them? He said, well, I couldn't do anything. Their end is full. She said, well, where'd you send them? He said, well, I sent them to the barn, just right down the way. To the barn? Did you give them anything? Well, no, I didn't have anything to give them. And maybe it was the innkeeper's wife who took out some swaddling clothes and some water for the birth of a child. Just wasn't expecting anything about special about this couple. Just missed it. There's another response that's actually not in this story that we read, but it's in the Christmas story, and that's the response of King Herod. King Herod was the king at that time, and when the wise men showed up, they said, where is he who was born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was troubled. I think that's an interesting response. He was troubled. You see, King Herod had heard the ancient prophecies. He knew what the scribes had said. In fact, the prophet Isaiah had said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting God, the Mighty Father, the Prince of Peace. But what God Herod was, the government will rest on his shoulder. And the idea of a Jewish Messiah that could rally the people and overturn the Roman rule, which means he would lose his place and lose his kingdom, and there was no way he was going to go for that. He was threatened. And so because he was threatened, he did something drastic and actually sent out soldiers, and they killed all the baby boys in that area under the age of 2 years old. Threatened people do drastic things. But then you see on the other end of the spectrum from threatened, you see the shepherds, and these guys are excited. And why wouldn't they be excited? They had just seen a plethora of angels. Always wanted to use the word plethora in the sermon, so I just did. And it means an excessive amount. And they saw an excessive amount. The Bible said there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, and they had a great message. Hey, unto you is born a Savior. Now, when these guys heard Savior, they think something different of what we think today. They thought a Savior who would break the Roman rule over our country. They were in bondage to Rome, and Rome had the rule. Rome taxed them. But a Savior was going to come and release them, this Messiah. So they had that excitement. And then they said, if you'll go into the town, you'll see the babe. And he's going to be with his mother and laying in a manger, a feed trough. So they were able to come in and have the angel's word confirmed in their life. I've always wondered why God went to a group of shepherds. Shepherds, we don't have a lot of them here, but shepherds in that day, it was not a big career path. It was not something that everyone wanted to be a part of. Shepherds did not have a large Facebook following. People just did not want to be shepherds. So why would God send angels to these guys? Here's what I think. I think they were quick to believe. I think they didn't care what anybody else thought, and they were quick to spread the word. And I think they had the humility that they could just praise God for all the good things he was doing. I think there's something about being outside. If you've ever been outside when there's no electric lights around, and you get to see that on a clear night when the heavens just open up, that's got to speak of God and the fact that this universe was designed by him. So I know that they had to believe there's something real about God. We're now discovering the Hubble telescope is showing us a whole lot of things we never knew. In fact, they said they pointed the Hubble telescope at a patch of sky no larger than a grain of sand held at arm's length. And they pointed the telescope in that direction, and what they found amazed them. They discovered 10,000 galaxies. And what they've been able to determine from that patch of sky is in the visible universe that we're living in, there's over 100 billion galaxies. And each galaxy has over 100 billion stars in it, which means that the number of stars in the visible universe is 10,000 times a million times a million times a million. And there's more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the beaches of the earth. There's something about the vastness of space that makes us think of the grandeur of God, and no wonder those shepherds were excited. But then I like the last response, and that was the very deeply personal response of Mary and Joseph. If anyone was affected by the birth of this child personally, it was them. Because this child had almost caused them to break up. They were going to split because Mary was telling about her divine conception, and Joseph was having a hard time buying it, but when the angel appeared to him, he finally did buy in. But you know, people were still talking, so they had gone through some conflict because of this child. And then even the birth process wasn't easy. Now, I know we've seen the Christmas cards, and it's got Joseph leading a donkey with Mary on it, but you know, the Bible never tells us there was a donkey. There's a good chance she walked the whole way, 9 months pregnant. I've had three kids, and I would not want to be Joseph. And that's a challenging situation. And then born in a barn. How do you nest in a barn? You can't nest in a barn. And there's no females around. There's no mom. There's no sisters. There's nobody but one rough carpenter with rough hands giving birth to a child. But when the child was born, you know they were excited because it was a boy. That had to be a relief. That's what the angels had said. So they were excited about that. And they just had a simple faith that said, we believe that God's at work here. And we see it by the fact they named him Jesus 8 days later, just like the angel had said. All the birth of Jesus to Mary and Joseph was not just an event, it was personal. In fact, we say that Mary took all the things that she'd seen in her, she pondered them in her heart. And so Jesus was in her heart, and then she took him into her home, and he became part of their life. It's personal. But today, 2,000 years later, responses to Christmas are still very much the same. We still see the indifference of the innkeeper. And it's not that people are anti-Jesus as much as they're just busy. Life is full. They don't have a place for him. And even though God's doing amazing things all around them, they're just completely unaware of it. We still see the threatened anger of King Herod. You see, Jesus, for many, poses a threat to their way of life. Because if he truly is the Son of God, if he truly did grow up to be a man, die on a cross for our sins, and then God raised him from the dead, then that gospel light shines on every man, every woman, and requires a decision to be made. But for many people, there's only room for one king in their kingdom, and it's a him versus me mentality. And that threatened mentality, is what's caused this anger that you see toward Jesus and people that want to stamp him out of every public sector in America. But there's a lot of us that share the excitement of the shepherds. It might be the wild-eyed wonder, but it is just an inner openness to God and just a willingness to believe that he's not just real, he's real good. And not only is he real good, but he would be real good to us. And the message of his son, Jesus, as being the peacemaker, man, that's a wonderful message. That's a message that says we can never connect with God on our own, and Jesus was the bridge. He connected God and man. And not only did he grow up to be the Savior of the world, he became a personal Savior. A number of years ago, when we had just started the church, we didn't have Christmas Eve services. And on a very busy Christmas Eve, Joy went to the hospital. She was a chaplain at Conroe, the hospital here in Conroe. And she was so busy, but she kept feeling impressed to go. So she went. And as she was there, she knocked on one door, and a very gruff voice answered, "Come in." And she walked in, and you know, Joy's got that tiny little voice. She's like, "Hi, I'm Joy Clayton. I'm one of the chaplains here. Just wanted to see if I could pray with you." And she looked around, and she said, "Do you have any family? It's Christmas Eve. Do you have any family coming?" The guy, she said, sitting in bed was a rough guy. Just kind of rough looking, had a gruff voice, older guy, wearing a wife beater T-shirt. He looked at her, and he said, "No, honey, I don't got anybody. Just me and my dog, Shadow." He said, "I've lived a rough life, owned a lounge, done some tough things. I ain't got nobody." And Joy said, "Well, would you like for me to pray for you?" He looked at her and he said, "You remind me of my wife." Joy asked a very good question. "Is that a good thing?" she said. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "She was a good Christian woman, kept wanting me to receive Jesus as my Savior." And in an uncharacteristic boldness for Joy, Joy said, "Well, would you like to? I'll be glad to pray with you." And much to her surprise, that rough guy, that lonely guy with only a dog Shadow in his life, said, "Yeah, I would." And he got out of the bed. He sat down in the chair beside her. And Joy said, "Well, I'm going to lead you in this prayer." And Joy said to me, she said, "I have never heard a man pray so loud." She said, "I start off, 'Dear Lord Jesus.'" And he went, "Dear Lord Jesus." Joy said, "You can hear him all the way down the hall." But he had a willingness, an openness to God, and a willingness to believe. And that night, a lonely man asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of his life and did not spend Christmas Eve alone. You see, the idea and the reality of Christmas is it's deeply personal. just like Mary and Joseph. A simple, solid trust that God is not only powerful, but He's personal. Powerful and personal. And His message of sending His Son to us, that's personal. And salvation, that's deeply personal. And so we may not understand everything. We may not grasp everything about Christmas, but we do have enough to believe, enough to make a step of faith, enough to simply say, Jesus, I believe You came as a baby, but I believe You are the Savior of the world that saves us from our sins. A number of years ago, a farmer in Nebraska on a cold, frigid Christmas Eve night packed his family into their Suburban and sent them to a Christmas Eve service in their town. He didn't go. He couldn't buy off on the God coming as a man. He could not buy off on that concept. And so he said, you guys go, I'm gonna stay here. And so they're off in the car. It's cold, so he builds a big fire, grabs a cup of coffee, sits down with a book to enjoy the peace and quiet. As he's just relaxing, he hears a thump, thump, thump on the plate glass window, and he looked behind him and got up, and he noticed these sparrows trying to escape the bitter cold were flying into the plate glass window, actually knocking themselves unconscious and falling over in the snow. He knew if they didn't get up, that if they kept doing that, they would freeze to death. So he puts a coat on and bundles up, and he trudges out to the barn, and he opens all the barn doors. And when he opened the barn doors, he cut the lights on, hoping that the sparrows would see that here was a place out of the wind and a place of safety and shelter. Well, they didn't get it. They kept flying toward the plate glass window. So he goes over and begins to herd them, and he's kind of moving them like this, but they didn't understand what he was doing. He's a big man dressed in a coat. He was just intimidating to them. And so they began to fly off or continue to fly into the window, and he got frustrated. He thought, man, they don't know what I'm doing. They don't understand. I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm trying to help them. And then he thought, you know, he said, if I was a bird, he said, I could speak their language. He said, if I was a bird, he said, I could fly up there and I could show them and lead them into a place of safety and of shelter. As he was having that thought, just in a moment, the church bells began to ring and it hit him. And he bowed his head and he said, oh God, I get it. You're big and powerful and awesome. You create galaxies. And sometimes we don't understand You or relate to You. So You sent Your Son, one of us, someone who speaks our language, someone who understands our weaknesses and frailties, someone who can lead us into a place of safety and salvation. I may never understand, you may never understand all the dimensions of Christmas and the incarnation, but we've got enough to go on. We've got enough to make a simple step of faith, a simple step of believing that says, Jesus, I believe You are not just the Savior, I believe You're my Savior, and confess Him as the Savior of your life. And you talk about adding a wonderful dimension to Christmas, that's the best Christmas of all. Would you bow your head for a moment? I'd just like to say a prayer for you. Said your bowed eyes are closed. Father, I pray for those here. Thank You for every individual and every family that's represented. I pray, Father, that every individual here under the sound of my voice would come to know Jesus not as just a Christ child, not as just a wonderful tradition, but as the Savior of the world and their personal Savior. I thank You for that. I ask You for Your peace and Your grace and Your blessings on all these here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.